Not a game. We talking about practice.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Buckle up for Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of the target center.
Not the game. We talking about practice, man.
That's a stretch play. Dodgers have won it all in 2020. Oh, what a shot from Curry. Diggs, sideline, touchdown.
The return to glory.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. If you ain't first, you're last.
And there you have it, folks. If you ain't first, you're last. Shout out Ricky Bobby. And it is episode 165 of the Takeover Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Seeker. It's another beautiful day here in the Treasure Valley. And of course, I got to give a shout out to my man that makes it happen behind the scenes, Sean DeVille. 2026, we are now entering. How you doing, my man?
Doing good. New year, new me, you know.
Oh yeah, what's new about you? Talk to me.
Pretty much same health habits as last year, but I do have a dog now. So
yes,
she's been taking my time and makes me get a little bit more active. I got to go on more walks, which is nice.
Good,
I enjoy it.
Nice. You want to tell the audience? It wasn't even a dog; it was a puppy. You're a dad.
I am. Yeah, 6 weeks. Well, now she's 4 months old. Got her at 6 weeks old. Yeah, she's been a handful, but I love her.
Has she chewed on anything? Has she destroyed anything yet of yours?
She's not destroyed anything yet. Her teeth are a little small.
Okay.
But I feel like that time is coming soon. But I have probably 20 toys for her at home because I just don't want that to happen.
Right.
So I'm just like, you've got 20 toys. You better not eat anything.
Man with the plan.
Yeah.
Always planning ahead. And Sean, here's the thing. The episode's not about us. I know we could go on about this.
Yeah. The dog podcast.
Yeah. But speaking of dog, we have a very special guest this evening and a returning guest. He's chuckling. He's trying to hold it in. James Ferguson Reynolds, the 2023 Ray Guy Award semifinalist. Welcome back to the show, the punter from down under. Yeah, James. Yeah.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate you having me back on.
Yes, absolutely. How you been?
Good, man. Good. It felt like 5 minutes ago we were just doing this last one. I was sitting in the studio, and here we are in Eugene, Oregon. It's a totally different story, but I'm doing good, man. Time's flying.
I know, dude. We were just here. We had the soft seating. We were eating the Tim Tams. Life was good.
We were.
Yeah, you're wearing the blue.
Funny story. One of that, actually, that clip came up on Instagram the other day. I was just scrolling through, and the clip that you guys must have posted on socials, and I had a good laugh there. It was at like 11 p.m., and I'm just scrolling, and then I'm watching myself eat a Tim Tam with you at 11 p.m. It was awesome. But
we're talking about your Australian accent. You're like, oh, I just want to get a Coke. that's all I want to ask for, yeah.
Literally, I watched that exact clip.
Hilarious. Dude. Well, yeah, good to have you back, and for the folks that don't know you, though, James, obviously they know where you're at now for the folks watching, but let's go all the way back. Geelong, Australia, young James, the young mate himself. Did you ever want to play American football growing up? What were you? You were playing Aussie football, right?
You know, ever since about the age of five, grew up playing Australian football. Never had any sights of, you know, being an American football player and living in America. You know, as everyone's probably watching over here, you grow up and you never picture yourself living in a different country. But, you know, fast forward 20 years and here you are in a whole different country. You know, I never even heard of Boise, let alone, you know, Idaho. So, you know, it was a long journey growing up playing Australian football, played it my whole life up until, you know, I graduated from high school. And I actually left high school, started working for a year. I never got drafted in Australian football. Unfortunately, it wasn't good enough. So, yeah, I actually went into construction. I started concreting, did the hard yards for a little bit, and then heard about Michael Dixon at the Seattle Seahawks, which is their current punter, highest paid punter there. And, you know, he was actually took a very similar path as me. Started working, then came over and punted in college at Texas, and then went on to have a long career in the NFL and heard about his story and thought, you know, it was actually on a job site when I actually heard about it. So I was concreting at the time and thought, stuff this. I want to go do what that guy's doing. Yeah, so I looked up a little bit of his story and found a punting academy back home. And yeah, just decided to give it a rip, and it beats concreting. So gave it a try, and 12 months later found out about Boise, and lucky enough that the coaches love my film. And yeah, about a couple months later, went up in Boise.
And then so talk to me a little bit about Pro Kick. Also, I feel like not only Michael Dixon, there's a few other guys, right? Not only from Australia, but I feel like all over like the world that have kind of gone through that. Like I want to say, isn't there a punter on the Saints? Hayball, is he from Australia?
Yep.
Yeah.
There's been, I mean, the Saints have had like three or four Aussies go through there now. But another big one is Cam Johnson. He's off, I think he's at the Giants now. He's had a long career. He's been around for about 10 years or so in the NFL. But yeah, there's been a number of Australians that have come across, have gone on into the NFL, and it's becoming like almost like a big brand now, Pro Kick. It's, you know, a lot of Americans are going over too to train with Pro Kick. And that's purely because, you know, we grew up kicking a ball. Our game is so different. It's very kicking based. You know, whereas you guys, you know, you grow up here throwing a ball, you know, you want to be the quarterback and the receiver, and you grow up throwing, whereas we just grew up kicking a ball. So we've learned the skills of kicking. You have so many different ways of kicking a ball. So that's where the Australian thing comes from.
So Boise State comes knocking on your door, right? Or shoots you a message. You end up in Boise. James, what was the biggest culture shock coming to the United States of America from Australia?
It was definitely the language. It was the accent. You know, I don't know if people will sit here and think that I've got a thick accent right now, but it's been 4 years. And when I first came over, you know, it was like we giggled on the last episode, but, you know, going anywhere to order something, order food, anything it was, no one would understand me. So it would be the hardest challenge to just simply order a piece of food, and I'd have to repeat myself 8 times just to get an order through. And it would kill me because I couldn't do anything or go anywhere without someone being, you know, just completely just lost with what I was saying. And then it would lead into a whole 15-minute conversation of, oh, where I'm from, and why did I end up in Boise, Idaho, of all places? So definitely the accent.
Yeah. What's an example, a food example that would always give you a hard time?
So definitely a Coke. So I'd... Everywhere I go, still to this day, I even try and put it on. I've literally made a game with myself. Every time I order a Coke now, I have to go to a different place and say it in a different accent or a different way to see which one works. And I still haven't found the right one. I'd put on every accent. I'd pronounce Coke really slow. I'd be like, can I grab a Coke? Like I've tried everything in the book. Nothing works. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Maybe it's just me. It's not the accent. Who knows? But a Coke is impossible.
Is there one that works the best that you've found yet? Is there like a leading candidate or a leading way to say Coke?
Nope.
Nope.
It's Pepsi. I just say Pepsi now.
Oh,
I give up
no,
and say
the
Pepsi.
Worst one.
Yep. Yep. They look so lost and they start asking me like, oh, a Sprite? And I'll be like, no, just give me a Pepsi. And that just works. So I just have to suck it up and go with a Pepsi sometimes.
So you end up at Boise State, and 2023, I just mentioned it in the intro, you were the Ray Guy Award semifinalist. I thought you should have won, my personal opinion, non-biased. It's just the cold hard facts. Did you know, James, punting yards on average in a single season, do you know you are fifth all time for NCAA history?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Do you know the number exactly?
The average or the punting yards?
Oh, the punting yards average. Shoot, I didn't write it down. I think I remember it, though.
I can't remember.
I think it's 51.7. I think, somewhere, yeah. Fifth all time, dude. Isn't that, I mean, how does it make you feel? Have you thought about that?
It actually, I did a lot. That year just felt like just a big blur. It, you know, you look back and you idolize so many different athletes growing up, and to picture yourself being, there and doing it and putting your name in a history book, it's so hard to comprehend. I mean, you look at all the guys that are on that list and have had a 20-year NFL career, and you're just sitting there up amongst all of them. It's so hard to get your head around, and I still sometimes often just Google my name and see it there, and you know, it still gets me. It's so unbelievable and pretty cool to think that your name is in that mix.
And not only are you an absolute dog at punting the football, but the fake punts. Dude, we got to talk about this. Not only fake punts, but the fake punts. Dude, you got this down to a skill. I had to look this up. You have so many different ones. You had one at Boise State. It was versus Fresno. It was the pass. And you've had a couple of those too. And then a couple at Oregon. The one versus Oregon State, you ended up keeping it. First down. Everyone on the sideline was like, yeah, okay. He's got wheels too. And then in the college football playoff against Texas Tech, pass. You got an arm, dude. Tell me about the fake pass in the college football playoff.
It was really cool. I mean, the whole fake thing, it's kind of just become the identity of JFR. And it was so hilarious, you know, coming to Oregon and, you know, the coaches were, you know, Dan Lanning was just through the roof. He just loved all the fakes. And I still remember running one at practice for the first time. And I never asked him if I got the green light and you're standing there and you're in front of, you know, Dan Lanning, arguably one of the most, you know, famous head coaches at the current stage. And I was just standing there at practice waiting for my next snap to come in, you know, like full live practice. And I'm like, this would be awesome if I just took off and ran right now and see what he would say. Praying that he just wouldn't kill me. But I did it and he absolutely loved it. And he goes, dude, just do that every time. And I'm like, cool, let's do it. Anyway, so fast forward to your question. We had run that exact fake for months before, and every week we'd go in saying, yeah, we're going to run this one this week. And I'd get so excited and we'd keep getting it called off or we'd get the wrong look. But Texas Tech just gave us the right look and we called it, and it was the coolest thing. It's like, I just go so blank in the moment when it happens, and you kind of don't remember it. But now they brought in like the iPads on the sideline the last couple of years. And so I like ran off and I'm like, wait, I just do a first down in a college playoff game. Holy moly, this is cool. And so I went straight to like the bench and got the iPad out and watched it. And then I realized like what I'd actually done. And it was really cool.
So, dude, that is incredible. And kind of piggybacking off what you said earlier, when you kind of just kept it. So when you have the decision, because you're kind of running it like you want to run with it, but then you can like punt it. Is that like a read option for you as a punter? Like, is that a choice? Or is that a design every single time?
It's a choice. Now that I'm finished playing, I can tell you it all. But yeah, it was my choice. I had the green light, but if I stuffed it up once, it was on me and we're never to do it again. So a lot of head coaches and coaches, you know, just want to just give the ball away. And, you know, a lot of teams don't pressure, you know, they want to set up big returns. And there's a lot of space. And, you know, just typically in history, there's a lot of punters now just, you know, just kick the ball, just stand there and kick it. And, you know, I just thought, why not bring over a bit of that Australian style game and just hold on to the ball a little bit more and have fun with it and take off and throw. And how do you defend it? You know, Oregon statistically had one of the best years also in history this year. We had the lowest amount of return yards. We've had, up until the last game, we had no block punts. We had, you know, everything lined up. It was looking great because it's so hard to defend. You don't know what the punter's doing. How many special teams coordinators I had come up to me and shake my hand after the game and said, dude, you kept me away from my family this week. I didn't go home and sleep. You're a nightmare to scheme up for because they just didn't know what we were doing. If you brought pressure, we'd throw it. If they didn't bring pressure, I'd hold it and run. And if they give a mix of both, we'd punt it. So they'd just be lost. It's hilarious.
Because the one against Indiana in the regular season, dude, you pinned it at one. I want to say the 2 yard line.
Yeah.
What a punt, dude. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was fun. I nearly died. I took off and then I saw this massive like 260 tight end coming straight for me. Decided I'd probably be best to just kick it.
Yeah, he gave you a good little shove from what I remember for sure.
Yeah, a little bit. That was funny.
So I know you had mentioned Dan Lanning and, you know, obviously you didn't want him to kill you. How is he? How is Dan Lanning as a coach? Kind of tell me about him. Who has he been to you? Tell me all about Dan Lanning.
Dan is probably the coolest dude that you'd want, you know, being your head coach. He is hands down the best motivational speaker I've ever heard. And I will stand on that because that man every week would come up with the most unbelievable speeches. I mean, everyone's seen them online, but you still don't even get half of what he says from the online versions. It's the things that he just comes up with is so creative and so motivational. You know, we'd be coming up against the biggest game of our lives and he'd have us like juiced on a Monday at 6 a.m. like after the longest season, you're heading into a semifinal, the season's been going for 15 weeks, your bodies are just wrecked. No one wants to be in there at 6 a.m., but Dan Lanning makes you want to be in there at 6 a.m. after a 15-week long season. And yeah, he is, he's just like the really cool older brother that you just want to hang out with all the time. He's just so cool. He's just got this aura around him all the time. You just want to be a part of what he's been a part of.
Let's go. Okay, so how about this? If we're just talking energy, just pure energy, who has more energy, Dan Lanning or Spencer Danielson?
I can feel the comment section hating me already.
No, wait, who is it?
Oh, man, that's close.
I was going to say, those are energy. Those are high energy guys, bro.
Oh, you know
just
what?
Just straight energy. Doesn't have to be like motivational speaking.
I'm going to go Spence on that one.
Whoa, okay.
I'm going to go Spence. Purely because Spence is the same guy 24/7. Mm. And it's energetic. Like he... I don't know what he does. He's got to at least have 25 coffees a day, I think, because he's just up here 24/7. Yeah, I think he tops it.
Okay, I was just curious because I've always heard nothing but just, you know, Spencer Danielson, just energy, energy, energy. Yeah. And I mean, I've seen the clips of Dan Lanning. I've never met the guy. I never met Spencer. But yeah, two West Coast, you know, powerhouses. I love that answer. I'm sure some of the folks are going to love that too. So, your time at Boise, remarkable. But in this era of college football, it's just different, especially from all of the years that, you know, we've grown up to watch here. And I was just kind of curious, being in the transfer portal, what's that like? Are you a free agent? Is it the Wild West? Like, what's it like being a player in the transfer portal?
Oh, it's the Wild West, that's for sure. It's a very strange place. You really got to be set on your decision. Because once you jump in, there is nothing guaranteed. That's what really hit me. It's not a fun place to be. You know, you jump in and all of a sudden you've got no security. You know, you just left a program which had security, believed in you. You know, you have so much security there, and to just exit and, you know, put a bet on it, it's crazy. It's a really weird situation to be in. You know, I think I was in there for a total of 2 weeks and it was the most nerve-wracking 2 weeks. And an absolute roller coaster of emotions. You know, there was days where my phone wouldn't stop And then there was the next day, I heard nothing. And you hear a coach that you sit on the phone for an hour with. It's such a cool program. And they tell you everything you want to hear. And then they say, all right, let's jump back on a call tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes around and you don't hear anything. And that's when you start to, you know, you start to worry and you start thinking, oh, geez, did I make the right move? Like, can I trust this guy? So there's a lot of betting going on. But yeah, it's a very uneasy feeling.
Wow. But hey, great pick on Oregon, dude. Seems like it was the right decision.
Yeah, no, definitely. You got to have a lot of patience being in there. And Oregon actually came in the second last day that I was in there. So,
wow.
I was talking to a lot of teams before that. And, you know, I made the right pick in the end. But yeah, it was weird how it works. But they came late. But yeah, what a pick.
Did you take a visit with them at all? Or did they give you like a virtual tour? Or were you just like, hey, you know what? After all these calls and conversations, let's do this. How'd that go down?
Yeah, I mean, funnily enough, when I got into watching NFL and college football, Oregon was my favorite team. I don't know why, I just watched them. My favorite color is green, so I just love green. And then watching Oregon was just like the coolest thing ever. So to me, Oregon was my favorite team and just this famous, big, worldwide brand that Oregon Ducks is. And, you know, even being able to play them back in 22, 23, whenever it was, 24, geez, I'm old now. When Boise played them at Autzen, just to even go there and play them was just like the coolest thing to me. Because it's, you know, grow up and play your favorite team. It was cool. So when they started calling and the coach was like trying to sell me on the program and the facilities, and I'm like, I don't even need to see this place. Like, I'm down. Let's do it. I'm like, let's run it, bro. Asking me for a facilities tour. I don't need to see nothing. Let's do it. Where's the paperwork? I actually had no facilities tour. I literally signed, did everything. The coach actually flew out and saw me in Boise. I didn't even go to Oregon. The first time I saw it was when I actually jumped in the U-Haul and moved everything up and set up camp.
Okay. Leap of faith.
Big time.
So tell me everything about the facilities, the jerseys. Is it as shiny as they make it seem?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It is honestly ridiculous. You know, walking in there day one, I just remember my jaw just being on the floor all day long. And the guy was just like, it's an absolute maze in that place. I was lost for easily a good month, and it sounds stupid, but I was genuinely lost. There's just so many elevators, so many doors, so many rooms, so many big rooms. Like, it was just ridiculous. I was just walking around with my jaw on the floor the whole time. Just even walking through the cafeteria, just walking into the main lobby, there's this massive screen and constant play. And I'm just sitting there in the lobby like, wow, what is this place? And they're looking at me like I'm just crazy. It was hilarious.
Were you ever getting close with, I don't know how close you are with like some of the offensive guys, Kenyon Sadiq, he's an Idaho Falls guy.
Yep.
Did you talk to him a bunch? How was he?
Kenyon, again, is like one of those Ashton stories, one of the nicest guys going around. Awesome to, you know, awesome locker room guy. He'll talk to anyone. He'll sit there and actually genuinely care. You know, so he deserves all the success that comes his way. But I have never seen such a physical, just a perfect physique. And it's a little sus, I know, but the most perfect male athletic physique.
Just like sculpted.
Just an animal, bro. Like, you walk past and you're like, oh, just be this guy. He's just crazy. Like, he's an animal.
Bro, I was watching your game on TV, and I think he caught like an out route, and he tossed the football back to the ref. And dude, I was like, he is like, I don't know if the TV is just doing it justice. Dude, no, he is just like chiseled, sculpted Greek god. Like, dude, his arms are massive.
Yeah, you walk past and he's just got this aura around him. And just looking at his arm, I caught myself multiple times and I'd sit there with my kicker and I'd be like, wow, like that's huge. But he's the most athletic guy you'll ever meet. Like you just watch him at practice and you catch yourself staring for 10 minutes because he's just done a backflip, caught this unreal touchdown over someone's head. And I'm just like, you can't do that at your size, bro. Like, you're a tight end. Relax.
Oh, it's my like Lord.
Just an athletic freak. Never seen it.
Are you, I don't know if, so this is a little callback from the last episode. You were always telling Jonah, hey, game within the game, couple taps on the ground. Are you saying that to Atticus?
I'm not actually. Atticus already had his process a lot. He already had his, you know, heading into his senior year, he had his process really dialed. So I kept that one to Jonah, but nice. Yeah, he was very process driven and Atticus, so I didn't want to come in and mess anything up. I just sat there and held the ball and that's it. Kept my mouth shut. But no, he was good. Lights out.
Nice. No, he legit kicker as well. Like you've worked with like probably two of the better college football kickers in like the last half decade. It's kind of crazy. 100%. Him, yeah, Atticus and Jonah Dalmas, dude.
Just must be the holding. I don't know.
It has to be. It has Come to on, be man. The holder. Hey, who's that guy holding the football? Yeah, he's really yeah. making that work.
No, James. It's pretty cool having two awesome kickers. You know, Jonah breaking all the records he did. It was cool to just sit there and enjoy that and being able to hold his ball, just knowing instantly that it was instantly going in. It yeah, it was cool.
That's great. That's, yeah, I'm glad we kept that. Hey, leave it in.
Football, James, ladies and gentlemen. Football.
Football. Footballs.
Football.
Hey, James, what's your favorite movie filmed in Australia, and why is it Kangaroo Jack?
That's good. I was about to say Kangaroo Jack as soon as you said Australian film.
I knew.
Why? Talking Kangaroo. That's awesome. That's pretty cool.
Way ahead of its time. And it was like 2004 is when it came out. You got Anthony Anderson, stacked cast.
Oh, dude. Kangaroo wearing a jacket, jumping around. Doesn't get much better than that.
Sunglasses?
Dude, come on.
That is a cool kangaroo, man.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Right.
Top 10 movie. Top
yeah. 10. Oh, cinema, pure cinema. That's an old timer. Oh, yeah. Another Australian one. So the song Down Under by mm-hmm. Men at Work. So here in America, when we hear that song, it's like, okay. That is Australia, right? Like that's the stereotypical Australian song. In Australia, what's your stereotypical like, oh, that song just is America. What is like the American song for Australia?
Ooh. Song. I'm trying to think of that one song. What is it? What's it off? Is it the Ladies and Gentlemen, Start Your Engines? Is that a song? Is that the one? That video, this clip, there's a soundtrack that goes to it.
Are you talking about the Kevin James thing where he's like at the racetrack and he's like, Ladies and Gentlemen, Start Your Engines?
Yeah, that's just instantly. I don't know about.
That's very American. I don't think it's a song unless it's.
I feel like I'm hearing a soundtrack in my head and I can just hear it, but I can't think.
Any like it's gotta be like some country song or like is it like Toby?
Dude, any I feel like for me personally, a lot of country songs just fit the stereotypical like that's America. Like just beer, truck. It's just America. Any country song for me just does it. I just feel like I'm in Idaho or I don't know, that could just be me, but any country song. Like any, like pick a Morgan Wallen or
just United something. States.
It just screams.
Yeah.
I got boots on. I'm in my truck. I got a beer. I'm driving through Idaho right now. Like that just screams America for me.
Yeah. laying in the truck bed, campfire, we're all laughing and singing, you know.
Yeah.
Just, the, yeah.
That's it. Literally. Any country song just does it for me.
Is there a favorite country song you have?
I'm actually not a country guy.
And that's okay.
I've never been able to just get into it. I don't know what it is.
That's okay. You don't, you don't seem like a country guy, so it's okay.
Just not. I've tried. I've really tried. I just can't.
And that, yeah, no, that's okay. I mean, I like a country song every now and then, but, you know, I'm not like a, oh, let me just load up my hay bales in my truck and, you know, and just drink my Coors Light. I just, it's not my lifestyle.
Yeah.
So.
I mean,
you just recently declared for the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Walk me through the decision, one, to do that, and also the plan for you going forward to prepare for Pro Day, and then also maybe even the NFL Combine.
Yeah, I mean, decision was pretty much there. It's a long time in college and played 4 years. You know, I was joking around with my coach. We could have filed and hopefully got another a year, but it's it just felt right. Just felt like the time was there just to get away and hopefully take this pro and do what I do in the next level. And it started off to be a really sad time. You know, I've been very fortunate and lucky enough to spend time at Boise State and then jump across to Oregon in my last year. And, you know, the career that I have had and the fans and everyone's that supported me, it's been just such a unique and special journey as a punter. You know, specialists go really unheard of in their career and kind of just sit there and are just there. But, you know, the brand that's kind of become a thing around JFR and me has been awesome. And, you know, the 4 years has flown by, but, you know, I've just been so fortunate enough to have such an amazing college career. When I played the last game and took the pads off for the last time, it was actually really hard to, you know, kind of swallow and kind of grasp that you've just taken the college jersey off for one last time. But there's just also that, you know, joy of excitement to be hopefully, you know, continuing and thriving for that next time you put on a jersey, and hopefully it's in the big stages. So it brings a lot of excitement and joy now that, you know, I've closed the door on the college journey. And now it's, you know, it's back to work and grinding now. But it was fun to make the decision and head for it. But now it's, you know, locked back in time, and it gives me something else to strive for and work towards now. But yeah, I'll just be training and got a few camps and stuff coming up, combine coming up. So yeah, it's pretty exciting just to, you know, wait around for those and start the process of the NFL and talking to some teams. And, you know, I've just signed on with an agent a couple of days ago and met him and talking about the possibilities and, you know, that the whole process and how it looks. And just talking to him, it's, you know, it all gets so real very quickly. But, you know, it's very exciting.
Do you have a favorite NFL team you'd want to play for, or like a top three?
Top three. I've always been a Seahawks fan. So I've grown up, you know, I've got family members, well, extended family in Seattle. So I've kind of been forced into that Seattle background. So grew up watching him in the Russell Wilson era and got his jersey and everything, been to the stadium. So, I think Seattle would be number one, which would be pretty cool, but also really grown to love the Niners the last few years. I don't know why, just something about them. It's pretty cool what they got down there. So, you know, San Fran too, it's a pretty good spot. But also love New York. I love the Jets. I went over and I've actually seen a Jets game in MetLife. So, yeah, playing at MetLife wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and me as a Saints fan, we could use a punter. Saints could use a punter. Just saying, hey, and then you could, Kellen Moore can be your head coach, a little in Boise State reunion.
It would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and hey, Jawan cool. Johnson's the Oregon tight end. Tyler Shuck, the quarterback, went to Oregon. I'm just saying. There's some ties. Just hope you like seafood.
If I'm on an NFL roster, I'll eat seafood.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool playing for Kellen. That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Okay. He seems like a pretty dope head coach, old Kellen.
Yeah, very very even-keeled. Cool. You know, not going to like – he's not like your barking type head coach. I think he leaves that for the assistants, but he's like very – he's like a strategist. He's very knowledgeable. Yeah. I think that's why he gets a lot of respect. So,
definitely. That'd be sweet. That'd be cool.
So, I got a fun game we can play. It's called Eugene versus Boise. You ready? It's like a would you rather almost. Or like what's better? So, to kick it off, between Eugene and Boise, who has a better food scene in your opinion?
Boise.
Okay. Boise's up 1-0. Okay. Who has a better fan base?
Oh, no. Those are
going to be the hard-hitting questions.
Oh, no.
And I think there is a right answer. And I'm an alumni.
There definitely is a right answer. And I'm going to break the hearts of one. But from the heart, it'll be Boise.
Oh, really? I was going to say Oregon. Really? Okay.
Yep. Boise. Sorry, Oregon fans.
Okay. Boise with the better fan base from James Ferguson Reynolds. Okay. Now, how about this? Now, I have to double check the map, but is there a river that flows through Eugene?
Yep.
Which city has a better river flowing through? Boise, the Boise River, or the river that flows through Eugene? Have you floated the Eugene River?
Hear me out. I did it this summer. I'm going to go with Eugene purely because I like a more relaxing, you know, I don't want to fall off every 5 seconds. You know, if you like, I just want to sit there, enjoy a nice beer and, you know, kick back with the friends, listen to some music and not have to worry about dying every 5 seconds. So I just like, you know, the Eugene one, you can sit there and just cruise for hours and it's fine.
Oh,
Boise, okay. On the other hand, you know, you got the rapids, you got rocks everywhere, you got trees, very skinny. It's definitely
a bunch.
I've done it a few times. You got to keep yourself off the banks. It's very hard work. It's fun. It's great. Don't get me wrong. It's great. Mm-hmm. But personally, I just like just the cruise. So I'm going to go Eugene.
Okay. Eugene is on the board with the river flowing through the city. Okay. That's interesting. The water did look a lot calm, a lot more calm in the images. But yeah, for Eugene folks, if you're watching, the Boise River has like the rapids. You're kind of falling out every now and then. It's kind of fun. Definitely keeps you on your toes.
Definitely.
And the water's freezing. Is the Eugene water freezing?
Yeah. Okay. Not too bad in the summer, but.
Okay. Yeah. Summer kind of, it's like, it's too hot where you don't care.
Yeah.
Okay. What about tailgating scene? Eugene or Boise?
Eugene, easily.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
okay. Easily.
Insane.
Yeah. I believe that. Insane.
It goes for miles. Like it's actually ridiculous. Like we do, because they're doing a lot of renovations right now. They're building a new indoor. So pregame, we actually went on a bus and did our walkthroughs at our local high school. And the whole 10-minute drive to the high school is just Oregon fans. Like tailgating, walking to the game, like. It's ridiculous. I live like a 7-minute drive from the facility. It took me an hour to get home one day, just traffic. Like, and that's after, like, I'm a player. So I go in, I have meetings, you know, you finish up, you get changed, head down, see the family, and then jump in the car and then head home. Like, a good hour after the game, and it still took me an hour to get home. Like, ridiculous. It's. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. They really go crazy in Eugene.
Here's one. Better turf to play on, the blue or the turf at Autzen? Which turf do you like more? Because I'm sure Oregon has the quality, but Boise State has blue turf.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with the blue.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Can't not. God, being a former Bronco,
that blue. Blue turf, man. The Smurf turf.
Smurf turf.
Okay.
Pretty cool. So unique.
And then I would say, what about nightlife? A nighttime at Eugene, out and about on the town, or a nighttime in Boise?
Boise, no question.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I love to hear that.
I'm sorry, Eugene, but everyone would agree there. It's terrible.
Real terrible?
Terrible.
Because Eugene's not really a big town, right? Or a big city?
I mean, yeah, not as big as Boise at all. But
that's true.
Yeah, there's maybe...
It's just a college town.
Literally three good bars to go to, and they're college bars. And I mean, when I say three, it's really one with two.
Because everyone's got like that favorite, yeah. Right? And yeah. Then there's the overflow bars, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So okay. Yeah, Boise with, yeah, no question.
No question on the nightlife. Okay.
Yep.
Let's see. I'm kind of running out of ideas. I think the last one I got would be, I mean, mascot, Buster, or the quack. I don't even know his name. I can't remember.
The duck. Easy.
The duck? Okay.
Yep. The duck is the funniest thing I've ever seen live. It was – I remember the first time actually interacting with the duck. I came to my first basketball game here, and I was just like – Just chilling in the crowd, and all of a sudden I look left, and like the duck is taking this old lady's popcorn and throwing it everywhere and just going past and stealing people's hats and throwing it, sitting down, taking selfies with people. It was the funniest thing. I watched that duck the whole game, totally forgot I was even at the basketball game. The duck is hilarious. I don't know who actually is in that duck suit, but they need to get their school paid for it. They do a great job.
That's just a full-time job.
No, full-time. They need to be employed. That is unreal. They do well.
Was that this year when he ran out of the tunnel and his head fell off and he had to go back?
Yeah.
That is...
Actually, I don't know if that's like – if that was staged or what
even
it was.
Even if it was, that was hilarious.
It was great.
Planned or not, I was dying laughing because you don't see that.
No.
And then he just didn't even keep running. He just turned around and went back in the tunnel.
It was didn't grab the head or anything.
Was like, oh, I'm gone. No, he just pulled a Roger Carry on, tripped running out of the tunnel. And then just was like, all right, I'm going back.
No, literally.
Yeah.
Just get up and go again.
Okay. Well, James, it's been 45 minutes.
I love it. That was great.
Before we wrap up, I know we got to hang out more often. This is great.
For real. Got my tongue in my hands now. Let's do it.
One message for Bronco Nation and one message for Eugene. What you got for the fan bases? It can be separate or it can be combined. It's up to you. College career is now officially coming to an end. And it can just be like, you know, the folks in Eugene or even just the folks in the city of Boise. Any heartfelt message you gonna? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but anything you want to say?
No, definitely. Been holding this one in for a long time. You know, to all the Boise fans watching, you know, I know I let a lot of people down and it still breaks my heart to this day. It broke my heart the day that it happened. And I'll just be straight out honest. A lot of people attacked me thinking it was for money. I want to let everyone know that it wasn't for money. There's a lot of other things that go on in athletes' lives, whether it be coaching, schemes, whatever it may be, situations. You know, obviously moving to Oregon, probably one of the biggest programs with NIL and money and how they all operate. You know, it's I know it's hard as a fan to sit back and see that and not point fingers and point out the obvious, but you know, there's a lot of reasons as to why the move happened. But you know, for the all the support, you know, you made JFR such a big brand. You made me who I was. You know, it's I still love Boise. I get back there all the time. Came back and watched a few games. You know, Boise still has my heart. Love the place. Wouldn't change anything for the world. So I really do, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate everyone. Appreciate everyone at Boise. Still contact everyone. You know, I love it there. Wouldn't have changed it for the world. But yeah, for the Ducks family watching, I know it's hard to hear the fan base and all the other questions. But you know, you know, it's hard to get up and leave a home and come to another place, but everyone at you know, Eugene and Oregon has made the transition so easy, and to come across to such a, you know, a crazy program to be a part of that was, you know, it was a dream of mine to, didn't even think I could even put on a Ducks jersey. So to be able to put on a Ducks jersey was so special, and yeah, definitely put a smile on my face. And what a way to cap off a 4-year career in college football. I don't think I could have written it any better than, you know, what actually happened. So, no, to both fan bases and everyone, just thank you from the bottom of my heart. Really means a lot.
I mean, wow. That's the best one I've ever heard. My goodness. You had to do two. Not just one. You had to do two. Nicely done, James.
Offer it.
Well, we have reached the end. I'll let you get on to eating dinner or whatever you got going on next.
Definitely.
We wish you nothing but the best, James, and we appreciate you more than anything, especially here in Boise. And it's good to reconnect, dude. Good to hear from you. Obviously, you're crushing it, and I got no doubt that you're going to go crush it at the next level.
No, thank you, man. I really appreciate you having me back on, and this is, you know, why Boise is so special. We have the connections that we do, and to have you allow me to come back on and share a bit of that is awesome. So thank you again for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it, folks. Episode 165, James Ferguson Reynolds, the former Oregon Duck punter and Boise State punter, now going to be an NFL punter, because it's going to happen. Y'all have a good one. We'll see you for episode 166. We don't know who it is, but I'm sure we're going to have a good time. It'll be a great episode. Until then, James, best of luck. Y'all take it easy. We'll be right back.